I want to start with honoring my brother Danny, because I would, as you know, the last 10 years or 11 years I've been traveling, and every time I would go, he would print the verses for me. So it was just one of those things. The day before they left for Hawaii, I had talked to him on the phone and we had gone over the verses, and I said, oh, don't worry about it. Just wait till you get back, because I'm almost out. You need to print me the verses. And he said, okay, when I get back. So, as you know, he went to be with the Lord. So, about 2 weeks ago on a Monday in the parking lot of Walmart, I was sitting in the car and I was just sobbing. And you know, when you've lost a loved one, they're not lost. We know they're with the Lord. We have a hope. And Paul said, we mourn, but not like the world, where we don't have a hope. We have a hope, but we mourn. We're people that are crying, you know, for our loved ones. And so I was sobbing because I said, Lord, he was not finished yet. He had to print my verses. I'm almost out. So I'm talking with the Lord and my phone rang. And I would not have answered it, except it was Jennifer, our daughter. And so I answered and I was like, oh, you know, and he's like, Mom, where are you? And I said, and I told her, and she understood what I was saying. And she said, Mom, Kirby and I can do that for you. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, you know, sometimes we don't see God's plan. But today, the verses you're holding in your hands, and I hope that every one of you got one. And it was different colors, and Jennifer and Kirby worked on these. And in fact, about the next week, I was preaching at the bringing the word to the children at the chapel, and I gave them out 120 of them. They had already made them for me. So the work is continuing because it is God's word, and it is powerful. It is not going to return void. So now I have ready the verses. I don't know where the Lord will send me next, but he has brought me here this morning to give them out to you in honor of my brother. But I want to say thank you to Jennifer and Kirby, and I know they work hard and they got them ready for you. And then our daughter, she wrote the verse that you have on the bookmark. So Kirby printed those, and she did that herself. And that means a lot to me, because as I'm going to share in the next few minutes about things we learned from our moms and our grandmothers and things that have been passed on to us. And this is something that has been passed on in my family, because my grandfather, I think he must have done 700,000 to 800,000 verses. He wrote down every time he would, 80 to 90,000 verses, and gave them out. And now our daughter is starting to write them. So now, of course, it's a bit different, because he would do it with paint, and she's doing it with her hand and with colors and different things. So I want you to take a verse out and just thankful how the Lord, because I would tell my brother Danny, you print the seeds, I'll plant the seeds, and God is the one that's going to bring the fruit. You just go and give someone a verse, tell them a word from the Lord. They're going to take it out, and it's going to bring fruit in their life, because God's word never returns void. So, thank you, Lord. Yes, it's very humbling if you ever wonder what it's like for Terry and I to sit in the front and listen to our son preach. And I take notes, because not because he's my son, but because the Lord speaks to me. And it's very humbling when your son, he was saying, my mom will preach today. Well, I've preached to him all his life. And my daughters, you know, they have made me a mom today, you know, that it's just a precious thing. And to know that the Lord is using them for his glory, and that is the greatest joy. We sit there and all I say is, God, it's your grace. It's your grace. It's your grace. Because all of us know there is no perfect mom. And if you think there is a Proverbs 31 mom anywhere in the world, I would like to meet her. I really believe that that is the body of Christ, of women coming together, and each one of us represents one of the verses from Proverbs 31. That's what I want to ask the Lord one day and say, who was that one woman that stayed up all night, the candle never went out, made clothes for all the family, fed the family, and went out and bought a field, and then did all these things. Just one woman? I'm not sure, but if you've met her, come after church and let me know. And I would love to meet this woman. But I believe that each one of us has a gift that we have to use for the Lord. But the verses that Benjamin spoke last week, I just want to bring them up because I just believe we needed to hear that. Each of us that are going through storms, we needed to hear Hebrews 10, 35, 36. Don't throw away your confidence. Persevere. Because to do the will of God, you have to persevere. The easiest thing for you to do is to say, I'm done. I am done. If the Lord, you know, we prayed a certain way and then the Lord did his mighty, wonderful plan that is so much higher than we can even imagine. And then if you say, well, you know, we prayed and we believed and no, God has a plan and we're going to say, righteous are you, O Lord, and you do all things well. And so when you don't lose your confidence in the Lord and you persevere, you do the will of God. And so, you know, nothing of ours, because John 15:5 says, you can do nothing without me. And that is why I'm here. Someone jokingly said, we didn't think you'd get nervous because, you know, they were like saying, I said, every time before you go to speak somewhere or every time you're going to give the word of God, he reminds you. And that's what it is in you. He goes, yes, Lord, it's not me, it's you. I'm here to give your word. And God has given me a word this morning. So I am here to give the word. And this is going to be, first of all, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to every mother that's here. Because I know you deserve to be having a day and being called Happy Mother's Day or being honored. And sometimes that's the only day maybe you get honored. I don't know, but Terry doesn't seem to forget any of the days that he's supposed to honor me, my birthday or different things, because I remind him. My friends come to me and they're like, you know, my husband didn't know if it was my, or they don't know it's my, I say, days before you start telling them, don't forget. You know, and Mother's Day I didn't, but he did honor me and I thank him for that. And, you know, just remind your husband, why wait for the, you know, and then say, well, you forgot or whatever. Even anniversary, you just tell them, what are we doing for our anniversary? You know, it's coming up and don't forget, you know, whatever. So just a little tidbit of what I have learned. So, but let's pray and go to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you that you are the one that is here. We thank you, Lord, you are the one that goes before us. You are the one that says, fear not. You are the one that holds our hands. And so, Lord, we stand here amazed at who you are in our life. We thank you, Lord, for every woman that's here and every person that's here, that you have a word for them this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word, that we just take it. Jesus, you are the word. You bring life into us with your word, and we thank you for that. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I forgot to bring the picture up, Terry, please. My Mother's Day gift arrived in February, and Jennifer's birthday was in February. Thank you, Carrie. And my brother had mailed it to us, and I wanted them to put it up there because we didn't know what he was doing in December. And he was saying, you know, I need to take a picture of you. And I was like, okay, you know, we'll do it. And so he took pictures of us, and he made this. And then in February when he sent it, he had a paper stuck in the back, and a few days ago, and I had seen it at the time when it arrived, but a few days ago when I was looking at it again, I read it and it said, this is your early Mother's Day gift. So it meant a lot to me because he did it, but I'm going to speak about, because it's my mom and what she's passed on to me, what I've passed on to Jennifer, and then, of course, our precious granddaughter, and how, you know, it's just like I said, I feel like a babushka doll. You know how when you open them and you just keep opening them and you find the littlest and the littlest, whatever. But I wanted to say that that was his Mother's Day gift. But this morning, the verse the Lord has given me is Proverbs 14:1. And that's where we're going to go. He dropped it in my heart a few weeks ago. And this is for every woman that's here today. And I know Jesus said, a wise man built his house upon the rock. And many of the verses in the Bible will say man, but they are for all of us. Because there's no man, woman in the sight of God. Because each one of us stands before the Lord as a soul needing to be saved. And he's there to do it. So, but this one speaks specifically for us women. And it says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. And I'm going to concentrate on the wise woman because I don't want to have to say anybody in this place is the foolish woman that is plucking down. And King James will say, she plucks it down with her own hands, her own house. And that is a very sad picture. But the wise woman, okay, so we all went through the flood. And I have to tell you this before I go into any more of the message. We all went through the flood. And we all, how many of you built your house again? Rebuilt it, restored it. And many. And how many of you are women that go into your house and you decide you don't like the color and you can change it yourself? Okay, give yourselves a hand. Because I want to tell you that when we were building our house again, rebuilding it, I had no idea about any of the parts. All I would tell Terry was, okay, I like that color. Yes, okay, let's do it that color, whatever. Because I am not a builder. Just like I tell people, my daddy did not teach me how to fish for fish because he was not a fisherman, but he taught me how to fish for men. Because that's what Jesus said. Come after me and I will teach you how to fish for men. Same way, my daddy didn't teach me how to build a house. And he gave me a husband who knows all that. And when we went into our home and it was down to just the wood again, the planks, I was lost. Because I do not like to see construction before it's being done because I have no idea where everything is and how big they are. And I think they're so small. And I say, this was our living room. And Terry will say, yes. And I say, oh, okay, where is the, right here. And where is, so, do not call me to come help you in any painting jobs. I think one time as a church, we had gone to someone's house. I'm not going to mention it because they're probably here right now. And they gave me a paintbrush and I had never ever painted anyone's house before. And I don't know what their hallway looks like, but I painted. Like I really knew what I was doing. I kept looking around. And then I remember we were in Mexico. And I mean, I got paint all over me because I didn't know how to do the brush where you didn't get it. And not just me. And I think I got it on Lisa too, probably. Because she's like, okay, you don't have to like, you know, you can just go like... So anyway, so I am going to say that, a disclaimer, I do not know how to build houses in the physical. But my mom and my two grandmothers have taught me how to build the house in the spiritual. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because the wise woman that was building her house was building it in the spiritual. And so today, we are going to build a house, and I'm going to show you how to build a house the way I learned it, and you have many, many ways that you, the Lord, will show you also. By the way, I have seen no clock anywhere, and that's very dangerous for me. So if they could start counting down time for me so I know how much time I have, that would be very helpful. So the first thing we need when we're building a house is the foundation. And I know that. I know that there is a foundation, and it is very important. Just like in the physical, in the spiritual, you need a foundation. And we all know this, but I'm going to bring out the verses because we need to see it. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, He is the rock that we are building on. Jesus is the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of the foundation. And Jesus said, the wise man will build his house and the storms will come. That's when you realize what your foundation, if it's going to stand or not stand. And so Deuteronomy 32:4, let's go there. It says, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. And then, you know, we're going to go to Matthew 7:24. And I know that you know this song, a wise man built his house upon the rock. And then it says, and the rains came tumbling down. And the rains came and the floods went. I mean, we all saw that. And the rains came down and the floods went up, but the wise man's house stood, what? Do you know that song? Strong. It stood strong because Jesus said, if you build on the foundation, and I know many of you have given your hearts to the Lord, but if there's anybody here that has not, I want to tell you, your life needs to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Everything else is shaky. Everything else changes. Everything else disappoints. Everything else will be gone away. Even this world, the Lord said, one day it will be all gone away, but my word will stand. And he is the foundation. We need to build on him. So he is the foundation that we're going to build on. And Psalm 16:8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be shaken when the storms come. And that is our foundation. Okay, so we're going to spend some time on the walls of our house. This is a foundation. You know the foundation has to be there. And then you can have so many walls, but I chose four of them for you this morning. And the walls are prayer, trust, love, and forgiveness. Four things that we learned as children in our home, that in a house, when you are building your house, you need these four things to build your house, the walls. And so I chose one verse for each of them. For the trust, I had Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication. Trust the Lord. Give him with prayer. Let your requests be made known to God. And so in everything by prayer. Okay, this is the wall of the prayer. That was the first one. The wall of the prayer. And I want to tell you, prayer is important. Last week, someone was standing beside me and they said, I have prayed for this for 20 years. 20 years. Sometimes we think we pray for something and we think, you know, the Lord's going to answer it. And sometimes he does right away. I've seen that. Sometimes it's the next day. Sometimes it's the next month. But to wait for a prayer to be answered for 20 years, you have to be like that woman that Jesus said came to the judge's house and he kept knocking. And she kept knocking until he said, and this was a worldly judge. He said, let me just give her what she wants so she'll just go away. How much more your heavenly Father that knows what you need. But some things we have to wait because he knows the bigger picture. He knows the situations that things have to happen before that answer is totally coming to fruition. Because sometimes he answers it, but you don't see it yet. And then you look back and you say, he did answer my prayers. And I was thinking just a few months ago, I was on my way to Europe. I think I was going to Lebanon because I had a few planes to catch. And the first plane was from here to Houston, which was the shortest flight, 1 hour. But if they are late, you're going to miss your connections. And I'm always praying for that first flight because you do not want to miss and be sitting. And I know Todd and Melanie, we prayed for them when we were going to Israel last year, and they almost missed the flight from Dallas to Paris, I think, we were going to go. And we were praying, and here they came, last minute, and then the doors closed because the flight from Baton Rouge had delayed and delayed and delayed. But this was Houston, and I'm sitting on the plane, and it's two-seater, and there was an elderly man there, and he had his earphones on. And so I was like, good, you know, I was just thinking about my trip, and yeah, sometimes I don't want to talk. That's very, yes, knowing me, you probably know that I'm, you know, very rarely I do not want to talk. But I was looking out the window, and I love watching out the window. But we had not taken off yet. And the pilot started on the tarmac, and then he stopped. Not good. When they stop, and they come on, and they say, ladies and gentlemen, there is a storm, so we're going to wait it out. And they make it sound like 15, 20 minutes, but when they start like that, it goes on and on. But this was better, because he didn't tell us time. He said, we're just going to wait. So I was like, okay. So I'm praying, looking out. And then he started going back towards the airport. And I said loudly, oh, no, we are going back. And the man beside me, he said, no, we're not. He's going to take off. And I said, it's going back towards the airport. And he said, no, look. And so he did. He took off. And I don't know how I missed that announcement that we are now going to take off. So we're looking out the window, and I'm looking out the window singing my I Surrender All. You know, I sing it. I don't sing it loud when there's somebody sitting that close to me. But I was singing, surrendering it to the Lord, and looking out, and we were in the clouds. And he said, look, look. He said, let me show you air pockets in the clouds. So he's pointing. He said, I'm a scientist. And he said, let me show you the air. And I'm looking out the window, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm looking, and I don't know what he's showing me, but I said to him, when I look out the window, all I see is God's creation and the beautiful clouds that he has made. And then I said, I don't know how people don't believe in God. And he got very quiet. And I'm going, okay. And he said, I don't believe in God. He said, I'm a scientist, and I don't believe in God. I said, I can't believe that. I said, you're a scientist? You should believe God more, because you know more that all this cannot just happen. And so then, of course, I didn't talk like that forcefully. Started telling him, I'm Armenian, I'm going to Lebanon, and, you know, and if you know me, I tell him, you know, the massacre happened and all that. And I said, and he said, oh, I have some Armenian friends. I've heard of that. And he said, you know, yeah, that's so nice, you know, that you, I said, no, no, it's not just a religion for me. My loved ones gave their lives for the Lord. So I said, it is for me. At 7 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. And so I said, and 100 years after the massacre, my niece became the first doctorian. I come from a family of doctors. That's why my family name is doctorian, because my great-grandfather was a doctor that was massacred. And my grandfather didn't remember their last name, so they said, well, what did your daddy do? And he was a doctor. So 100 years later, I said, for my family, God redeemed it. My niece is a doctor today, Dr. Doctorian. So I got his attention a little bit. And then I took out a verse, my verses. And I said, look, my brother prints these. And I'm Armenian, so let me give you one. It's Armenian on one side. He took it. He put it in his pocket. So I talked to him. And then we landed. We landed. I stood up. As I stood up, he said to me, you know, my daughter is praying for me. And it was one of those moments where you know and you know in your heart, the Lord puts you there in that seat. He didn't tell me any of that until I stood up and was getting my bag. So I went back, and I don't do this very often, but I poked him in his shoulder, this elderly scientist gentleman, and I said, do you think it's accidental that I sat here. I said, the Lord put me here to remind you that your daughter is praying for you. Prayer is powerful. And as I was leaving, and I said, her prayers will be answered. And I walked away, and I was like, oh, Lord, I can't believe I poked him, and I said all these things. And we were not the only two on the plane. So when I was telling him those few things where he said it loudly, where my daughter is praying for me, people around us heard. Because, you know, those planes are very small. But you know what? I think that the Lord is looking for people that are bold enough to say to people, this is what I believe and this is what God has done for me. Not saying, you know, you need to do this, 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 but telling them what God has done for you, because somewhere someone is praying for that person and the Lord will answer. So prayer is very, very powerful. So as you're building your house, your homes, your families, your children, you know, as moms, you pray for them. Don't ever stop praying for your children. Don't ever. Yes. And for the callings in their lives, for the situations that they're facing, for things they tell you and not tell you, and just pray for them. And that is the that is one of the walls that we have built as a family. The other one is the forgiveness. This one, you have to do it yourself. Nobody else can forgive situations in your life but you. And I have come to that situation, to that place where I've said, the minute someone is telling me something that's going to be hurtful, or they're going to say something or do something that's hurtful, I have decided in my heart to say, I forgive them right now. You know who my example is? Jesus. On the cross, while they were crucifying him, he didn't say it in the garden, Lord, I know they're going to, Father, I know they're going to do all these things, so forgive them for, no. In the middle of the situation, as they were nailing him, and he was man, he felt every pain. People that say, well, you know, he was God. And no, that's why in the garden he said, let this cup pass from me. For a moment, the man, Jesus, in that moment said, the one that said to his disciples, I have come for this, said, Father, please, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And God, the Father, Jesus, with all his faith, God said no. And that's why he said, thy will be done. So he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. And that's what I pray. When somebody is doing something or saying something or a thought come to mind, because with my family, with the massacre, it comes up a lot. In Armenian situations, you hear stories, you know, everybody has a story about what happened. And my grandfather, both grandparents, grandmothers told us the stories themselves. So these were not things we just read in books. It really happened. And when those things come up, you say, Father, forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. Because a lot of times people don't realize when they say something or they're doing something or they're, most of the time they have no idea what they're doing. Most of the time. Even though you say, well, they know he did that because he knows what he's doing. No, they don't know how much pain it does or whatever. So forgiveness is a big wall you have to build in your house. A big one. And I really believe that God has his ways. If you cannot forgive something, in South Africa, some people came up to me and they were asking me how to forgive certain things. And I have no idea, because there are certain situations, if the Lord doesn't help you to forgive, you cannot do it on your own. You just have to say, Lord, help me to forgive this situation, or help me to forgive this situation, whatever it is. And the third one is love. Of course, we all know. In 1 Corinthians 13, if you have never read that chapter, go back to it. And it says, the greatest of these is love. And for time's sake, we're not going to go there. But love is another wall that you have to build. Your family, as you're building your houses, your family needs to know that you love them. Even when you're correcting your children. My children might have said to me, you don't love me at that moment. I used to say that to my mom. I did. You don't love me, because she would give me a punishment for something. And Danny and I got into a lot of trouble. And, you know, one day I might share about that. But anyways, I would say, you don't love me. And now I know. And I never in my heart thought my mom didn't love me. But I would say it. And your children probably say this, or people say this, but they need to know you love them. And we knew my mom loved us, loves us still. There's nothing a mother always loves. That is a gift the Lord has given us, because God is love, and God has put his love in mothers' hearts. Very few times I've met moms that really don't love their children. And I had a friend who would tell me, do you like your children? And I used to think, why would you even plant that in my head? You know, because like, why would you even say that? Because yes, we love our children and we like our children. I like my children. But you know, love is a great wall that we need to build. And then the trust. The trust is something we have a hard time with sometimes. Trusting the Lord with everything. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. And that one is from Proverbs. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. But to trust him on the one side, and to not lean on your own understanding. Because the minute you want to trust the Lord with something, your mind starts working, and it makes you think, I'm not sure if I can trust him with this. He might do this, and he might, you know, put your mind at ease. God is a loving God. You can trust him. I've known him now for a long time. I said, I gave him my heart at 7 years old, and I am in my 60s. So you do the math. I've known the Lord for a long time. He can be trusted. He can be trusted more than anyone else in the world. God can be trusted. And trust is a big, big wall that we need to build in our house. Okay, so let's go to the roof. The roof of our house is important. And I know that, you know, Terry takes care of all that. And I know that a friend this week, they were having issues when it started raining and started leaking in their house. And I know that the roof is very important. But the roof of our homes has to be the Lord's covering. He is the covering. It says his mercies are new every morning. His grace is there for us every time we come boldly into the throne room to ask for mercy and grace. And he covers our house. And I was thinking, you know, in the Old Testament, you read the children of Israel had to put the blood of Jesus, the blood of the lamb, which was the picture of Jesus, on their doorposts, because when the enemy, when the angel of death had come over, he was going to pass over, and death was not going to come to those houses. The same way, Jesus died on the cross. His blood covers our homes. He is the covering so that we do have eternal life. Yes, it is appointed for men once to die. Death is part of what the sin into the world came. But Jesus, because he was resurrected, he came back to his disciples and he said, I conquered death. Your enemy that you're going to face one day, just know, I've conquered it. You've already won. So his blood is what makes us have eternal life. So his blood covers our homes. And then the roof is very important because his eyes are always there. The Lord's eyes are upon your homes when you build it on his foundation. And that's what we want anyways. We want the Lord to watch over our loved ones. We want the Lord to be his eyes. It says he goes to and fro throughout the whole world to see whose heart is towards him, how you're praying for him. I remember distinctly on a Friday in Cameroon, Africa, and it was one of those places that I had gone because my daddy had talked about it so much so after he went to be with the Lord, I thought, where would he want me to go this year? And really, it was just a desire. And then the Lord brought it to pass, and I stayed in the pastor's and his wife's home. And it was a wonderful ministry time, but it was, you had to fly into Douala and then drive for 4 hours to their village of Angkong Samba. I told my mom to learn that. And I remember that, I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I remember on a Friday morning, and they had told me that was the day they were going to drive me back to the airport, 4 hours. And I had seen places we drove through in the night when we were coming that I was like pretty afraid. And you know, there are so many times fear comes up where it almost terrifies you. So the pastor had told me, Jasmine, we got a driver. And I said, is he from church? No, he's from the village where we were. And he's going to take you to the airport. And I mean, once they drop me at the airport, I'm fine. But the way from their house to the airport, 4 hours in a car and going through some villages. And, you know, everywhere I went, it was like they knew that I'm not from there. I could tell because the merchants and everything, they would come running to me to sell their things. And so I thought, okay, if Daddy was here or if Terry was here, he would make a way where I wouldn't be by myself with this driver. Well, he said, we have a baker at our school. He's going to go with you in the car. And he was a young man, and, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, and somehow I had fear grip me. So I went up to the room, packed my bags, came down, 12 o'clock, they're going to come take me. And I am struggling, and I am complaining to the Lord the whole time, through the night and the next day. And if you don't do that, you know, I do that all the time because he's the one I go to. I run to my Abba Father all the time because when I was growing up, I went to my daddy. Even when I didn't like what mama was doing, I ran to my daddy. And I have, our daughter used to do that. And I would follow her because I knew she was going to daddy after mama said no for something. And daddy was daddy, you know, fun and doing everything and saying, I'll talk to mama. And I would say, no, you're not going to change my mind. Because there were some things that I would say no to. And, you know, and yes, he would change my mind. And but I needed to be a little bit loosened up, I guess. But so I went to my Father in heaven, and I said, Lord, I do not like it. I know you're with me, because he always reminded me. Joshua 1:9 that I travel with, fear not, for I am with you wherever you go. That's why I gave you verse Deuteronomy 32:8, because that's the verse my sister-in-law and I stood on and are still reminding each other of that verse right now. He is the one going with you, before you. He's going to hold your hand and say, fear not, for I am with you. I will not forsake you. God has promised us that. And Joshua 1:9 is almost the same way, except it says, fear not. Didn't I tell you, Joshua, commander of the armies, fear not. And I say, if Joshua was fearful, we are. All the time we get fearful. But I was getting very fearful. But I said, okay, Lord, I'm here. I've come here. That's the only way I'm going home is to get in that car for 4 hours and go to the airport and fly. So I got my stuff ready. I came downstairs, and all the kids had gone to school, very quiet. The house was quiet. And the missionaries that had come with me from Ireland, they had left already. So I was sitting in the living room, took out my journal and started writing my thoughts so that one day I can read them, because I knew God was doing something in me. And I thought, yes, okay, Lord, you're making me stronger right now. So I wrote it down and I said, I trust you, Lord, with my trip to Douala. And I put the time 11:47 a.m. And I was waiting for the taxi at 12. So I said, let me go find Helen, the wife of the pastor. I said, let me see where she is to say goodbye. I come around. She's in the kitchen. She was very quiet. She was doing something. I come in and I said, hey, Helen. Before I said anything, she stood up. She was bent over. She stood up and she said, I am going to the airport with you. And I said, what? And she said, I am going with you to the airport. I will take you all the way to the airport with the taxi and the driver and the person. And it happened to be the most wonderful, joyous experience. But it was at 11:47 When I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I trust you with my trip, is when the Lord had her tell me. She must have decided the night before, but she didn't tell me at breakfast. She didn't tell me at whenever she saw me in the living room. She didn't come find me. She had to say it. I learned a lesson. I think it's more important for the Lord to know we trust him than what we're walking through. To say, I trust you, Lord. I don't see it. There is a storm. Because he told his disciples, why were you afraid? I mean, Jesus is on the boat. He's sleeping on the boat. How can that boat sink? You know, but then we forget that. The Lord is in us, the hope of glory. He is in us with his power and strength. And it says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. It does, but we forget it. So he reminds us, or somewhere you start thinking about the word of God and you start reminding yourself. So I just love telling the story because it was such a good ending and it happened so wonderful. And I tell the Lord, please, Lord, remind me. So next time I am afraid or I'm not trusting you, to just do it from the beginning. Like the night before, to go to bed and just say, I trust you, Lord. And that is something that I learned also from my grandmother. My mom's mom was such a peaceful person. And she was always just trusting the Lord with things. Just trusting the Lord. Trust the Lord. And then my other grandmother was the one with prayer. She prayed about everything. So those two things have entered into me. And I tried to put them into our children and now our grandchildren. We are planting, because one day they're going to remember your voice. They're going to remember the words you said because it's going in. The world is trying to put in a lot of things. And I have 6 minutes to finish up. So I'm going to go into the inside of your house. And the inside of your house needs to be filled with good words. It says the power of the word, it can be death or life. We have our words that we speak inside our houses. And that is also, you know, I'm talking about the spiritual houses that we are building. Yes, our hearts is our inside, what you put in our heart. And the best place I could go to was Psalms 101, because verses 2 and 3, it's wonderful to say what we're going to fill our hearts with. It says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's when nobody sees you. When you are by yourself, in your secret place, in the moments where no one knows what's going on in your mind, you take every thought captive and you say, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And I really want to say here, you know, be careful what you turn on TV, because some of the things, even commercials, have become really horrible. And pictures and those that have little children, I mean, those things come into our minds, even grown-ups. Sometimes it's like, turn it, and you're watching something totally innocent, and the commercials, because the devil knows when to bring his, you know, junk or garbage, really, not junk, just garbage, into our lives. And so we need to watch what comes through our eyes. We need to watch what we put inside our ears, like that little song we used to sing with the kids, you know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Same song applies today. Be careful what you put before your eyes in your house. So the presence of the Lord needs to fill up your home. And Terry's mom was wonderful about this. I never had been in a home like that, where when we first started going to Mobile, Alabama, and they lived in Saraland, and she had the radio on a Christian program going on in the kitchen. She had the living room, another station, Christian program going on day and night. And we would tell them, we slept the best in your house tonight, because the presence of the Lord was covered all over the house. Fill your house with God's word. And my mom, I want to honor my mom today, because what Jennifer had done with the verses that she wrote the verse out, it's something I grew up with. My grandfather used to write the verses, And then all over our house, and right now in California, in Pasadena, and I was telling Mom a few days ago, I was saying, Mom, you need to start giving them away. Because she said, oh, that one is very precious, and that one is very precious, because her father has written some, all of them. But it is covered with verses. And now our houses are covered with God's word everywhere. And it might not be, you know, I have my grandfather's verses around, and I know Terry has told me that there's no more room on my walls to put anything else, because I have covered it not just with the verses, but I've covered it with a lot of things. And I just love, because your eyes fall on something while you're walking through your house, and it's precious. It's precious to me. And sometimes I have that verse where my grandfather wrote, my grace is sufficient for you. And sometimes I'll be on my bed praying for something. My eyes will fall on there. It's like, you know, it's like having God's word just written everywhere. And so we learned that. My mom did that. She continued that. And so cover your walls with God's word. Put it on your mirror. Put it everywhere you're going to sit, at the dining room table. Have verses. You know, it's the best thing you can fill up your house with. I know you probably have very, very expensive things, but God's word is the most precious thing you can have. And at any moment to fall your eyes on that. And then I just want to say that, you know, I want to pray a prayer over you, which is in Ephesians. But before we go there, before we finish up, I want to stop right now and say, if you have no idea what I'm talking about because you have never surrendered your life to the Lord, this is the moment you can do it. This can be the day, May 12, 2019, you restart everything. You just say, Lord, here I am. I had no idea you have a plan for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He has the plan for your life. And if you've never asked him for that plan, this is the time. Let's just close our eyes. And I want to pray for those that will say, I have never totally surrendered my life to the Lord. The word of God is not precious to me, which I can't even comprehend. But there is situations where maybe you never had the opportunity to open the word of God and read it for yourself. I have a friend right now that I'm discipling, and she never grew up. She grew up in a church that she never opened the Bible for herself, and right now she is devouring it. She is so hungry for the word. So I want to know if there's anybody here, just one or two or three, that says, pray for me. I want to surrender my life totally to the Lord and walk with his plan, build my house with his plan, and fill my house with his good and precious things. And if I see a hand, I'm going to pray for you. All you have to do is raise your hand and let me see it. And then I will finish up. I see that hand. One, I see that hand, precious one. And if there's anybody else that says, pray for me, I need prayer. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else with those two? I know that there's always moments that we feel like, oh, I've got to go do this. Let's just stop right now. This is the most important moment of this whole service. Those that will say, because of the cross, I want eternal life. I see those hands. I see those hands. Three, four, and thank you, Lord. And I just pray that if there's one more before we pray, let's pray with those four. Let's say, dear Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for obeying the Father and dying in my place for my sins and giving me eternal life. I accept it right now by faith, and now I know that I am your child and you're my Abba Father. And Lord, I pray for everyone right here that has not given his heart or her heart to you, Lord, that they will do it right now because you have such a gift of eternal life for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And so I want to pray over everyone this morning, Ephesians 3:17. And I would like for it to come up. It's where it says, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. So that in Ephesians it says, now unto him who is able to do far above, exceedingly beyond what we imagine or think, be glory unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, Lord, you confirm your word. You confirm your word in this place, Lord, in every heart this today. And this Mother's Day, Lord, this day you made every woman a heart in their home, Lord, that they will be the ones that will bring your word into the lives of their family, Lord, that you will encourage them, strengthen them today, and bless them, Lord, with your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.